You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week 6 and the final message of our series. Are we there yet? For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
How many of you here today, if you had the chance, how many of you would love to know what gets me really angry? Okay, like angry enough to I see some hands going, that's good. Like angry enough to yell at someone at the top of my lungs. Any more hands going up? Okay, that's good. I thought this might interest you today. So I'm gonna tell you, okay, one of the things, hopefully the list is not too long. I don't know. One of the things that gets me most angry is listening to and observing my two oldest kids completely ignoring their younger brother. Literally drives me insane. And here's how this typically plays out. My youngest son, his name is Siggy. He'll be trying to get the attention of his brother and sister, asking them a question. Usually it involves like playing Legos or something. So for example, Siggy will be asking maybe his older brother, Oli, to play Legos with him. And I'm usually listening from a distance. I'm either in the kitchen or I'm upstairs getting ready for the day, whatever it is. And here's what I hear. Siggy's talking to his brother. He says, "Oli, will you play Legos with me?" And then there's silence. Then Siggy again, "Oli, will you play Legos with me?" Still nothing. And at this point, Siggy goes rapid fire. "Oli, will you play Legos with me? Oli, 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 will you play Legos with me? Oli." And then at a certain point, I can't handle it any longer, and I snap, and I scream from wherever I am in the house, "Oli, answer your brother!" And then I remember, I don't know if any of you have done like the love and logic parenting thing, and then I remember all that love and logic parenting has taught me over the years, that yelling is like the worst thing that you can do with your kids. And so then I'm like, I feel bad. And so then I like calm down and I get down on one knee and I talk to my kids calmly and I say the same thing to them every time. I feel like I'm on repeat. I tell them, I say, "Hey," if it's Oli, I say, "Hey, Oli, man, here's the deal." I said, "You are allowed to say no, okay? But you gotta say something." I'm like, buddy, it can be a yes, that'd be great. It can be a no, but you got to pick one. I'm trying to teach him here. I'm going, when someone is talking to you, you don't ignore them. You need to say something. And the whole thing I'm trying to get him to understand is, man, one way or another, right? One way or another, you need to respond. You got to respond, buddy. You got to say something. And while he is probably a lot more kind and a lot more patient than I am, I'm going to be honest with you, friends. I think God has similar moments with you and me. I think that God wishes at times that he could almost say the same thing to you and me. I think there are moments in life, and maybe this right now in your life, in our life, maybe this is one of those moments, I don't know. But I think there are moments where God is wishing that we would say something. I think that sometimes there are certain moments when God is really, truly waiting for us to respond to him one way or another. I think there's moments when God has given us, like, I don't know, some sort of like a, it's almost like some kind of like ultimatum in a way, like asking us, "Hey, make a decision." And here's the deal. I think the decision that we make in these kind of moments, I think the decision that we make will oftentimes determine the direction that our life goes. I think God's asking us to make a decision, and oftentimes the decision that we make, it will determine the direction that our life goes. And that's why when we're confronted with choices that we're actually going to see as I continue on today, that's where we're gonna see how we respond. It is incredibly, incredibly vital to the life that we are living. And so today, here's what we're going to do. We're going to see this, it's a big word, but we're going to see this kind of like God-like ultimatum in a sense, right? We're going to see it at the very end of the Old Testament book of Joshua that details Israel's, this is God's people, it details their grand homecoming into the land that God promised them. And for the last month or so, We've been in this series called Are We There Yet? Where we have been following along with God's people that's often referred to, as you heard, as Israel. We've been following along with them over the last month after they crossed into their homeland. They crossed the Jordan River into their homeland. It's been 40 years since they've been on this journey, and it's been 40 years of all the people wanting to know what? Are we there yet? And now, okay, when they crossed the Jordan River, they finally arrived. And we've been following their journey over the last month. We've been following their journey to this point because we too here at Midcurrent, we have entered into our new home, in a sense, here in downtown Hudson. And the same is true for us that was true for them. Just because we finally arrived, it does not mean we have reached the end. It does not mean this is the finish line. It does not mean that we just, you know, get to kick our feet up and relax, okay? And lucky for us, we learned so many good lessons from them in the aftermath of their big homecoming. And there's one final lesson, I think, as I read this story of Joshua, there's one final lesson for us to learn today. And we find this final lesson in Joshua. This is the Old Testament book of Joshua, chapter 24. This is the very last chapter in this book. And if you remember, we left off last week in chapter 11. It's a big gap. Okay, we left off in chapter 11 because the truth is, for the next like 12 chapters, there's just a bunch of ongoing reporting about how they divided up all the land that they had now inherited. It's literally one chapter after another of describing the allotment, you know, various groups of people. They got the land starting in the east to the mountain range, and they got the land from the west into the river valley, and these people, they got the land from the wilderness to the southern border, and these other people, they got the land from the southern border all the way to the edge of the Salt Sea. But it just goes on like this, one chapter after another. And so by the time chapter 24 rolls around, I mean, everyone is kind of settling in, you could say, right? They got the grass seed down. They got the cute little string lights hanging over the backyard patio. They had all the housewarming parties, okay, with all their friends. They're settling in. Got to have the string lights, okay? They're settling in. And Joshua, he rounds them all up. Okay, he brings everyone together again because God has kind of an announcement that he wants to make, and Joshua is going to be the one that helps kind of make this announcement. And so here's what Joshua says in chapter 24. We're going to start looking here in verse 2. It says this. You can follow along on the side screens. Joshua said to all of the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." Got an announcement to make. And truthfully, I'm just going to summarize kind of the next handful of verses here. I'm going to summarize the main things that he said. Otherwise, we'd be reading a ton of stuff here. So essentially, he's listing out in this big announcement, he's listing out all the ways that God has been faithful and present with Israel, starting all the way back. He goes all the way back to the time of Abraham, who God chose to bless so that Abraham and all his people would then go on to be a blessing to the world. Starts there. He says, hey, remember how God did that with Abraham? Then he goes on to remind everyone that when all of Israel wound up in Egypt, and that is eventually as slaves in Egypt, he reminds the people that God raised up leaders. God raised up Moses and God raised up Aaron to stand up to the Egyptians and lead the people out of slavery. And along the way, he even incredibly, we know these stories, he parted the sea so that all of Israel could escape Pharaoh's army that was charging after them. And he goes on, he reminds everyone that God then, after years of wandering, he brought his people just to the east of the Jordan River, and that there God fought for Israel against the people of Moab who opposed them there. And then the summary continues in verse 11, telling of all the events that we have actually been examining closely for the last month, right? Speaking on God's behalf, Joshua reminds the people, and I'll remind you that it was God who helped them cross the Jordan River into the promised land, and it was God who helped them conquer the city of Jericho, and it was God who gave them victory over their enemies in the south, and their enemies mounting defense and a giant coalition against them from the north. It was God with them the whole time. And then look at verse 13. It's like a big exclamation point. God says, "I gave you land you had not worked on, And I gave you towns you did not build, the towns where you are now living. I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. Okay, it's a pretty stunning list. It's almost a sobering one, I gotta think, for the people, right? Of all of the ways that God has been faithful for generations, of all the ways that God has been faithful to and that he's fought for and that he has provided for his people. And then, right, it's a huge, long list. All that he's done. And then directly following this little history lesson, right, of all the ways that God has provided for his people. Listen to what Joshua says in verse 14 and 15. So, okay, they just got the history lesson. So, fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Very quickly here, what you need to know is that, because this, I think this can mess with our heads sometimes, you need to know that that the word fear here doesn't actually mean like to be scared of. It's not that kind of fear. The word translated as fear in Hebrew, it really means to be in awe of. It's a word that is really getting at like a deep respect and an honor and a reverence. So this is really saying, honor God, revere him, be in awe of him, hold him in high regard, and serve him wholeheartedly. And the list goes on. Put away forever. Put away forever the idols that your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord alone. And then listen to this in verse 15. But, okay, God's been good to you. So honor him, revere him, serve him wholeheartedly. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today. Choose right here, right now, who you will serve. Can you hear the Bob Dylan soundtrack playing behind this? You're gonna have to serve somebody, right? It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody, right? No, anyone? Okay. Choose today who you're going to serve, okay? This is that kind of ultimatum that I was referring to. This is the moment I talked about when God is looking at us saying, hey, what's it going to be? You can say yes. You can say no, but you got to say something, right? One way or another, now is the time to respond. He's going, man, hey, in case you forgot, I mean, here was just a big old reminder of how I showed up for you and how I provided for you. So now choose this day, who is it gonna be? And when we boil all this down, right? I mean, I summarized it a lot, but when you boil all this down, the big long list of how faithful God has been to his people, and then this kind of question that he asked, when you really boil it all down, here's what it says to me, that God's provision, it demands a decision from us, from you and from me. Right? God's provision in your life and in my life, it demands that we make a decision with the life that we are going to live. Now, demands is a strong word, I will admit. But that's, I don't know. When I read this deal, that's what I'm taking away from this. When we're confronted with God's goodness and God's faithfulness and God's provision in our lives, there's only one thing left to do, is to choose who it is that we're lining up behind. And I want to make sure you understand that I'm not suggesting, or I'm not assuming that your life has been perfect and pain-free and, you know, just full of like everything you ever hoped and wished for, right? I'm not suggesting that life has just been like a big cakewalk for any of us, but I'm still going to go out on a limb and just suggest, right, that I think God has still been good to you and good to me, right? If we had eyes to see it, if you had eyes to see, I think you'd see that God has fought for you, that God has been present with you, right? At the very least, he sent his son to die in place of you and to bridge the gap that existed between you. And that kind of goodness, and that kind of faithfulness, and that kind of provision, I think it is just begging. It is begging for a decision from us about how we are going to then respond to God. And I think God just wants a yes or no. It's like I tell my son, Ole, man, hey, you can say yes or you can say no, but you gotta pick one of them. You gotta say something. You gotta do something. Pick one. Jesus himself, I mean, if you think about this idea of you know, doing one or the other, pick one or the other, don't just do nothing. Jesus himself said in the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible, he said, if we're lukewarm, he ain't interested. He says, you know, choose hot or choose cold, but if you're lukewarm, he actually says, I'm gonna spit you out of my mouth. Now that's, I get it, that's a little harsh. Okay, that's a little direct, and I'm not necessarily, you know, or usually like a really like harsh, like pound the pulpit or the, you know, the bistro table kind of guy. But here's the deal. That's not how I typically operate, but here's the deal. Okay, here's what I started thinking this weekend when I'm thinking about this stuff. Y'all are here on Labor Day weekend. And so that says to me that you're at least you're somewhat serious or at least curious about or interested in your relationship with God. You're here because I don't know if you know this or not, okay? But the whole rest of the country took today off from church. Did y'all know that? I mean, I don't know if pastors ever got like a vote on this, but somehow, I don't know, this turned into like one of the few weekends every year. You get a free pass from church. Nobody told me this when I was a kid, but I'm told you don't have to be here, right? Church on Labor Day weekend, it's like optional or something. I don't know. So maybe you knew that or maybe you didn't. Either way, you're here today. And so I figured, and hopefully I'm not wrong about this. Hopefully I didn't, you know, this wasn't a big error. I just figured, man, you're here today. I just figured maybe this was my chance to speak a little more plainly, a little more clearly, and a little more directly to some of us who are serious or at least seriously interested about this stuff. I thought maybe this was my chance to challenge those of us who are here this weekend to step up to the plate, to respond to God, to make a decision, to answer the question, who's it gonna be? What's it gonna be? Choose this day. Who are you gonna serve? Serve the Lord who just dragged your butt to victory time and time again? Serve the Lord who just saved your butt by sending his son Jesus to pay a penalty that you deserve to pay, or serve someone or something else? If you think about it, it begs the question, what are the other options? What, you know, if this is the choice, if this is the ultimatum, like what are we choosing between? And if we go back to this story, we'll see what Joshua is saying. Look at how verse 15 finishes. I mean, Joshua says, hey, if you're not going to do God, then it's got to be something. So here's what he says. He asks him, he says, would you prefer, if it's not going to be God, choose something. So would you prefer the God your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or it would be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live now? This is the choices he gives to them. They're told to choose between the gods and the idols of these foreign people. Okay, but here's what's hard. That's not necessarily, you know, that's not totally the decision that we have to make, that we are faced with, right? We don't necessarily have, like, you know, those foreign gods and idols were like the god of the sun and the god of the of the lightning or whatever. Those aren't necessarily the options that we're choosing from today. Those aren't necessarily the choices that we're faced with. And so I think if Joshua was speaking to us today, I think he'd ask, are you going to serve the Lord, or are you going to serve the God that we have made comfort out to be? Right? Some of you, the second you experience a bump in the road, take the nearest exit ramp, right? The second your kids experience the slightest bump in the road, you mow down whatever's right in front of them. Heaven forbid they ever have to experience any obstacle or discomfort in life. Why? Why would we do that? Because we have made a God out of comfort and ease and safety in life. I think if Joshua was talking to us today, it wouldn't be like the God of the sun and the Euphrates. I think God would say, are you going to serve the Lord or are you going to serve the God that we have made money out to be in our lives? Letting your money drag you around, right? Tell you how to run your life rather than the other way around. I think if Joshua was here today, he'd say, are you going to serve the Lord or are you going to serve the God that we have made sex out to be? Are you going to serve the Lord or are you going to serve the God that we have made control out to be, or fame out to be, or popularity out to be, or politics out to be? And this list could go on and on and on. And so I just got to ask you, are these the things? I mean, because I think this is the decision that we're ultimately faced with. I got to ask, are these the things that you ultimately want to be calling the shots for you? Because here's what I want to call your attention to today, right? What you serve, it will determine how you live. What you serve, who you serve, it will determine how you live. And so you got to ask yourself, are these the things, money, you know, comfort, control, sex, popularity, politics, something else? Are these the things that you want to have to answer to in your life? Are these the things that you want to have, say, jump and you have to ask, well, how high or how much or how many likes do I need to get, right? Because trust me, what you serve, what it is that you put in the captain seat of your life, it will determine and it will dictate and it will stipulate how then you must live accordingly. And asking you then to choose this day, right? The God of Israel or some other God, whatever that might be, right? If you think about it, it's kind of a scary invitation to make because it leaves it open. Leaves it open for you to choose something that I ultimately wouldn't hope for you. I wouldn't pray that you would choose. And that's why I love Joshua's response. That's why I love Joshua's leadership in this moment. At the end of all this, he says to the people in the last part of verse 15, right? He says, hey, you guys got to choose. And then here's his famous line that's turned into like a, you know, a decoration in the home of every Christian family today. Here's what he says, right? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That's where it comes from. He says, man, God has been good to us. So now's the chance for us to choose. And if it ain't gonna be God, then pick somebody else. But he says, you know what? I'm drawing a line in the sand. He says, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. As the leader of God's people at this time, Joshua exercises his leadership by example, clearly, definitively committing himself and his household to the Lord and the Lord alone. Some of us, here's what I believe. Some of us right now, we have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to exercise the very same kind of leadership by example. Right? I really believe that in your place of influence or in your own family, you have a chance today and every day to make it clear who it is or what it is that you serve by how it is that you operate. You have the opportunity today and every day to make it clear who it is or what it is that you serve by how it is that you operate and how it is that you carry yourself. And here's what I'd say to you. Sometimes the best way, if you're going, okay, what does that look like then? Sometimes the best way to demonstrate in those places of influence we have, sometimes the best way to demonstrate that we serve the Lord, sometimes the best way to do that is just by the way that we serve other people. Sometimes the best way to demonstrate that we serve the Lord is by the way we treat other people. Sometimes the best way to demonstrate that we serve the Lord is by the way we love other people. Jesus told us that the world will know we are His. The world will know we are His disciples by our love. Right? Sometimes the best way to demonstrate that we serve the Lord is by the way that we live our lives or by the way that we run our business or the way we conduct business or by the way we navigate conflict or the way we respond to criticism or the way we build others up or by the calendar we keep or by the things that we prioritize or the values that we hold firm to in our lives. Midcurrent, a new year, so to speak, is about to begin as fall sets in. Fresh starts are about to begin. New beginnings are being birthed among us right now. We are returning to many of us, but we're returning to routine and to, you know, calendars and schedules, and all that stuff is now being created. And now is our chance. Now is our chance to evaluate and ask ourselves if there is anything in our life that we have made a God out of that isn't the Lord our God. Is there anything that's commanding too much of our calendar or too much of our time or too much of our wallet or too much of our heart that shouldn't be? And then we've got a decision to make about what it is and who it is that we are going to serve. And whatever it is that we choose, I think we'll soon begin choosing for us the life that we live. And so the decision we make matters today more than ever. So may this be the day, friends. May this be the day that all of Midcurrent, all of us here today, everyone watching online, may this be the day that all of us decided, as individuals, as families, as a church, may this be the day that we decided, as for me and my family, as for me and my household, as for me and my community, as for me and my area of influence in the Lord, influence in the world, we will serve the Lord. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks for today. And man, what an awesome opportunity to be together. What an awesome opportunity to open our hearts and in times of music to you, God. What an awesome opportunity to open your word and to hopefully, God, allow it to speak to us. And we're grateful for the ways over this past month and the way today, God, that you're speaking to us, teaching us lessons that maybe we need to learn at this time in our life, God. And God, I mean, we kind of ended here with a bang. This kind of stuff is hard to hear, right? It's not easy to be confronted with choices. It's not easy to be confronted with sometimes the things that we have made into idols, into gods in our life. It's not easy, God. I don't pretend that's easy, and I don't suggest any of it with a heavy hand. I don't suggest any of it trying to come down on anyone here today, God. I just suggest it because I believe that you have got a great life planned for us, God, that you designed us with great purpose, with so much value. And I want, God, I want us to live into that. And so I don't want anything else. I don't want anyone else calling the shots for us, God. I don't want us to have to answer to anything else. I don't want to have us here at this church have to, you know, answer to fame or to popularity or to comfort or control. God, I don't want to have us to have to answer to money, to a calendar, God, that isn't ultimately honoring to you. God, I don't want us to have to answer to anyone other than you so that we might experience all that you have planned and designed for us, God. So no, this isn't easy, God. But I'm praying that you would, God, I'm praying that you would ever so lovingly and gently, God, would you shine a flashlight into our heart, into our lives, and help illuminate for us, God, anything that maybe possibly we have kind of put into that captaincy. And God, if we're ready, would you help us to begin making the shift from whatever that might be to you, God, so that we would serve you only. Because, God, because you have been so good to us and because you have good things in store for us, God. So may this be the day, God, that so many of us marked a line in the sand too, said, you know what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And God, would you help us to know exactly what that looks like. God, would you speak clearly to us? Because it's going to be different for all of us. God, would you speak to us individually about what that looks like, about what it is that we need to do in our everyday lives to demonstrate for you and to demonstrate to this world that it's you that we serve, it's you that we follow, and it's you that we love. God, thanks so much for this time together here today. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. Visit us online during the week at midcurrentchurch.org and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram.